I'm sorry, we had a technical there.
Yeah, no problem. And then, so, because you know I work on old motorcycles, right?
Sure,
that Triton, I had a leftover Moto Gadget turn signal mount. So I sliced open a standard Alfine DI shifter pod and then soldered wires to the pod and then potted it, epoxied it. It's inside the bar. And then the wires run to this. So this actually now acts as the as a shifter instead of that Alfine shifter pod that booms out, which doesn't look particularly good.
Well, and it's also, it's like, if you're going to an electronic type system, it's like you can use the best of electronic devices.
I mean, because really, I mean, if you open up that Alfine shifter pod, all it is it's just positive and ground.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, each upshift and downshift is a positive wire. It is a common ground. So I just soldered wires to it and then ran it and then just used momentary buttons, up, down. You can do whatever you want.
I'm surprised you don't do an integrated handlebar button. Like the custom motorcycle guys.
You're like Frenched it in, which is what I did over here, right? So you can see I've got LED bolt lights.
Yeah.
And that's actually running off of a momentary switch here.
Oh, okay.
And that's actually powered under.
It's not. It's connected into the bar, but it's not exactly blended into the bar.
So there's a little plunger to pull the U-lock out.
Oh, that's cool.
But underneath here, there's actually a 12 volt anti gravity power pack.
I like anti-gravity, dude.
Yeah, I really do as well. but that powers the USB port, and then it also powers the LED bullets.
Do you have a little like Eskimo thing that's powered for cooling that runs that? So you can have your 12. Actually, it's probably some weird British concoction that you'd be keeping cold back here.
It's Whitworth wires.
It's Whitworth gauge.
Whitworth gauge wires. It's 12.5 gauge.
Okay, so you did a lot on this bike. There's a lot of custom. You did a custom seat post.
Actually a Nitto seat post.
Okay.
I just painted.
And you just painted it.
For what you have to pay for a Nitto post, the brazing was just shit on this thing.
Really?
Yeah, I was really disappointed on that. But
it gets into that whole thing of like who are those people, the French people that make the cranks, those shitty
TA
cranks? Yeah, like the TA cranks or the Nitto parts. You're not buying quality. You're not buying thing. You're buying, they used this 50 years ago.
Yeah, you're selling to the fetishists.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Absolutely. And then, you know, the integrated Silke pump, which is actually quite nice because you really, even in plain sight, you don't really notice away that there's a frame pump.
It's all camo.
It's all camo.
Yeah.
But the idea behind the LEDs, honestly, the purpose behind it was, like, let's say if you come out somewhere and, like, after dinner and it's night, this light won't work unless the bike's moving. So if you're looking for the keys for the U-lock or whatever, you can just actually hit the momentary light and you've got lights to see it kind of pulling.
Are those spots or are they floods?
They're spots.
Uh-huh. So they're a limited area if you're getting stuff ready, but you can, like, kind of put your bag in front of the light.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Or also if you're just trying to catch someone's attention.
Okay.
Because they're bright enough where you'll see.
So this is borderline theme bike right now.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of it was.
I mean, it's rideable, but it's still theme.
It's absolutely rideable,
sure.
Right? But, I mean, the customer had some very specific things, right? He lives in this massive planned community in Orlando.
Okay, so this isn't a strict show bike.
No, this is a customer bike.
Okay, cool.
But some of his stipulations were he wanted to be able to carry wine.
Right.
Right? He wanted a cup holder. He wanted to be able to carry a six pack, right? So, I mean, he had some very... we'll call them very unique requirements. But other than that, he left it pretty wide open for in terms of the execution.
Cool.
So a lot of the wiring was a lot of it was maybe proof of concept, Peter. I mean, he wanted the Alfine ADI.
Sure.
And then I sort of took it from there.
Right.
And he wanted belt drive. And we did the elevated chainstay so we wouldn't have to put a splitter in. It was one thing that he asked for.
He didn't want a splitter.
He didn't want a splitter.
Uh-huh.
So elevated the chainstay so you can actually get the belt out.
It's an asymmetrical.
It's asymmetrical. Yeah, yeah. It's not fully.
Elevated.
Yeah, it's not like the old Almags or Cro-Mags where those things swung like a pendulum. But then, you know, other than that, I just sort of played around in terms of building the racks and the things that I could do. And a lot of it was, again, just sort of seeing what I could do. Knowing that he would pay for it and he was cool with it.
Are you going... It sounds... From the words you're saying so far, it sounds like you're going through a growth phase. Like, where you're... You've done this... Like, the stainless bike. You've done those bikes.
Look,
you've done your fancy race cross bikes.
I can build a cross bike or a road bike in my sleep.
Right.
Right?
You've done it. You've done
it. Yeah. And there's good margin there.
Sure.
And I like doing it. But every now and then, you want to kind of stretch your legs a little bit and see what you can do. Yeah, it's why I'm
looking at carbon right now.
That's exactly right. So... It was, all right, well, electrics, when I first started working on motorcycles, wiring was always my Waterloo, right? That was always
you
the
like
toughest
British
part.
You like British.
Right,
come on.
Positive ground in and of itself is
totally
stuff to wrap
six
your head
volts
around.
For crying out loud.
So, I mean, it was always my Waterloo in terms of having the wire be dependable and then easy to repair down the road, right? So something you do makes perfect sense. You go back to it a week later, you can't remember what the fuck you were thinking, right?
Sure, you can't pull out a ball of spaghetti.
Yeah, exactly right. And you can't ride around all the time with some handmade wiring schematic, right? So I thought, well, if wiring was always my biggest challenge, then let's make wiring the first and foremost on this and see if I could do it.
Have you found like micro auto wiring connectors, the whole waterproof gasketed stuff?
No, I haven't. I mean, what really basically what I've been doing is just using the little pin connectors and then heat shrinking them, you know?
To be critical, it looks like you're leaving your balls out there.
I know.
Are you thinking about a way to get there on the next one?
Yeah, well, here's the problem, right? Is that anodizing does not conduct electricity well at all. So in order for me to ground anything at the rack or the fork, it won't ground to the frame. So I had to run a jump wire for continuity between frame, fork, frame, rack.
Sure. Yeah.
And so, so the extra wires are in there. And then also I've got wires that are running from the 12-volt pack back here up to the front and then through the shifter. So they all kind of have to come out and then back in.
Yeah, you've got a lot of wiring and you've got a lot of small tubes. It's a challenge. Oh, and you got internal hydro.
Yeah.
You didn't internally do the fork. Is that just because it's a small bladed fork?
Well, and also I don't like to do internal routing through the fork.
Right.
I just think it's too big of an opportunity for a stretch.
I hate internal routing in general, just from I want to go on my ride. If something's wrong, I want to be able to fix it rapidly.
Not disputing.
The only internal line I do is for the dropper because if you're doing stealth, you've got to do it anyway.
You've got to do it anyway.
If you're going to enter the tube, you might as well enter where you want.
That's exactly right.
You know, that kind of thing.
And so, I mean, of course, this does have internal, but it's just, through the mid-stay, which quite frankly is... It's playtime, baby stuff, you know? I mean, it's really easy to run it through the mid-stay and just have it poke out.
It's one of the easier shots from a plumbing perspective.
And honestly, I mean, running a hydro hose through a mid-stay, the hydro hose in relation to the mid-stay, boy, you would just notice it so much. Plus, it has to travel so far. And then I would have to then loop it around here to connect in. So I thought, well, it made sense for me to run the rear brake hydro.
Yeah.
Or run it internally, rather.
So what else is going on? I mean, like in years past, a lot of times at your booth, it's cross racing.
Yeah.
All about cross racing. I'm not seeing that this year.
No. And a matter of fact, I don't have a cross bike. I have a gravel bike but that's as close as I have. And and a lot of that wasn't necessarily a function of, well, here, the big difference was usually for NABS, all I do is I take the customer's bikes that are in the queue, and those are the ones that go to NABS.
That's what a lot of guys do.
And I build so many fucking cross bikes that the high probability of one of the bikes or multiple bikes in the booth being cross bikes is pretty high.
Sure.
What I did this year was I thought, well, I wanted to kind of do a kind of a cross section of different bikes. So I sort of went through and looked at the build quarter and then moved a bike up in the queue or whatever, so it bring that to NABS. So they're not show bikes, they're customer bikes, but it's a bigger cross section.
But it's very much the on-road perspective. That one that's gone is a gravel bike, but gravel bikes
this is very on-road centric.
From the off-road scene is basically a road bike.
Yeah. Now hers is a little different as a gravel bike because she races cross and she's got a couple of cross bikes.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't need that. Because most times people want a gravel bike that they also want to be able to race cross on. So you kind of have to strike that balance. That wasn't her issue. So she's running 38 cross tires, and she's a relatively small rider, so toe overlap became an issue.
Do you folks have a lot of UCI races near you?
No, we do. In the OBCX,
that it becomes a concern.
For like a bigger tire?
Just rules.
No, not really.
Okay.
Because I was just wondering. I mean, even when they enforce those rules, they're really only enforcing it at the elite level. I mean, they're not going to come in for the Masters 35 with a caliper.
I race elite level.
Sorry, apologies. Apologies, you race elite. But for most people, they're not going to come in with a caliper.
But was that silly thing like going back where people are like, you can't run flat bars at cross thing. It's like...
Stupid.
It's like, if you're UCI elite...
Yeah.
Like, you're using that to, like, gauge how you as a novice rider...
Look, I'm Cat 3. No one's going to come break my balls,
right?
Because I don't have enough drop on the bar, right? So, but on hers, I actually gave her a little bit more trail than what would ordinarily be for a cross bike. Because, for gravel races where it's just kind of long, plodding, straight
direction... You got to
relax. Yeah, so it's a really firm sort of on-center feel to the bar. Which is great for what she's doing, but if you were to try to race that in a cross race, it'd be a little maddening. Because mid-corner would want to stand up on you, because of that little bit of a longer trail. But for what she's after, it fits perfectly.
So, growth, you're looking at this, you're doing the motorcycle, you're going to be racing that motorcycle? You're putting it together to race?
Yep, I'm racing Arma this year.
Okay, but you've held a fairly good not going too far into the motorcycle that it pulls you away from the bike.
Correct.
Thing.
Yeah.
You kind of keep your balance. Is that going to happen? Are you going to drift a little bit more toward motorcycle?
My suspicion is I'll have to drift a bit toward motorcycle just simply by virtue of racing. It's going to require a lot of work.
Sure.
Right. So, you know, I mean, the amount of times I'm going to have to pull the top end off of that after, you know, a long, hard weekend at Barber, or God forbid if I dump it, you know. Uh-huh. So, I mean, those things are going to have to require.
Are you going to make that mod we talked about?
I'm actually on the fence on that. Actually, I went ahead and ordered two more cam caps.
Oh, cool.
To play with them. So sure. I'm going to chuck them up. So I've got the motor built up.
Well, drop the specs. We'll get the CAD drawing.
All right. Yeah.
Because, I mean, all you're going to make, you're basically just making a bearing mount.
Right. Exactly. Right? Bearing mount and rocker arm shaft mount.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you dial in the locations, it's almost drill press work.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I'd love to see you do that.
Yeah. Me too. Me too.
I mean, if for nothing else, then, like, it's...
It's different.
It's 10% better than garbage.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what you got now. You've got garbage and you know it, but it'll be 10% better than
that. Yeah. Which is always great.
And you're racing.
Yeah. So, so I've got that motor coming along, but I mean, I had to press in the new cam caps. They call them cam bearings, but they're really bushings. There's no actual bearing in it. Just simply because I had to degree in the cam and everything. And in order to degree in the cam, cam's got to be in situ.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I'm monkeying around. I just bought them on eBay because it's not like you can order those things new.
Right. When I'm at a loss. I'm trying to think. You don't have a very deep mountain bike world near you. It's cross is about as gnarly as it gets.
Anymore, yeah. I mean, I come from a mountain bike background. I mean, that's where I cut my teeth and riding Pisgah.
But you're in Indianapolis now.
Indianapolis. So quite frankly. It is exceedingly rare that I'll get a mountain bike order anymore.
Right.
And to be perfectly honest, I don't know what value I'm adding to the 29er steel hardtail world.
Right.
And which is really all I'll build.
It's tough. I mean, that's my world, the mountain bike. But it's really tough even when you know it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like we all have our specialties. You have your specialties, and it's gorgeous. So it's tough to, like, you know, if you're forcing it.
Well, I mean, again,
I go that way.
People that are coming to me, they want cross or gravel, right. Or kind of, we'll call it credit card touring or sort of old world look on road. And so I'm not going to turn those people away.
No.
And for a lot of these things where, you know, I do it in my sleep, I can make good money at it.
Well, So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a business.
Yeah, that's exactly
but,
right.
You know, we have our passions and you're a passionate guy.
I have found the motorcycles have been my outlet for kind of pushing the thought process. And then, and you know, there are a couple of things that maybe I've picked up that I can bring over to the bikes, like the wiring.
Sure.
But what I really find is that from a bike building, from a frame building perspective, I stay within my wheelhouse.
Sure.
Right? Because that's what people want. That's what they're ordering from me. That's what I can do. And then the motorcycle world, be it the Triton or the Norton or the Honda, that kind of gives me the opportunity for the problem-solving aspect of it.
Have you you've done the British bikes for money?
Many years. Oh, yeah. But it's pretty rare. And I've never taken on someone saying, hey, build me a bike, but rather I'll build a bike. And then afterward, I'll decide, well, I'm going to go ahead and sell it.
Yeah, because you flip a lot.
Yeah. So instead of, hey, these are the specific things I want on this motorcycle,
do you need to talk to him? Because I can cut.
Oh,
okay, cool.
I'll get you right after.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
So... I've sold them largely because it's time for me to get another bike and I need the room.
Yeah.
And I'll
punt
it on down the line.
Sure.
So.
And I think you like the project more than
absolutely.
Anything.
I love it. It's the destination that gets me going. You know?
Well, I mean, for anybody.
And then old Datsun that I did, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I decided, well, I'm going to do an old car. I've never done an old car, so I'll do a Datsun.
Sure.
And then built it up and drove it.
And you're also in a community that makes it easy to do that kind of work.
I've got a really big, solid network of people that can offer things that maybe I can't do that I need. I've got someone I can go to.
You're essentially Motortown.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Dude, you can go to Gasoline Alley and start on the south side of Gasoline Alley.
Well, I've never been down there. You know, but
it's unbelievable.
But I know the auto industry there is sick.
You can travel south to north on Gasoline Alley, and at the end of that day, you've got a complete race car.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even a problem. So you're in terms of motors, motorsport, you're fine.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at, like, let's say... I'm going to talk about cross just because it's performance and it's in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
What do you see going on? Is that going to get upset pretty hard
with...
stuff, and where do you think, what from a technical design and construction point of view, or just, you know, what are the people going to want, where is that going to go?
You're seeing the technology of mountain bike bleed into cross, whether it's necessary or not,
because finally we're at the point where we can say fuck your tradition.
Yes. So the idea of canty studs have gone the way of the dodo bird. And of all of the cross bikes I've built and have in the queue, one is canty stud. The rest are disc.
You got to be a real grouch to do it now.
Yeah, exactly. You have to have to do it. The people that are staying with canty studs are they're basically flipping the bird at convention.
Right.
They're doing it specifically because it's not disc.
Right.
And they recognize this is not a superior technology.
Sure.
Disc will change the way, it's for me, it changes the way you'll do a race,
sure.
Right? And so because you can break later.
Have you tried a dropper on a cross bike yet?
I haven't done that yet.
Dude, it's so good.
Really?
I mean, just from a fun point of view, like
yeah.
Even if it doesn't win you races, like when you're not in your race, let's say it doesn't win you races, it's so much more fun to ride.
Yeah, just hard charging
into
a corner.
Did you see my hybrid?
No, I haven't. Oh, no, I haven't.
Yeah.
I actually did, yeah.
I mean, that's got a 170 on it. Holy
yeah.
Shit. But, like, you should check that out.
So, I mean, but again, disc will change the way that you ride because you can go deeper into a corner and brake later. So what you're finding is that when you had this shoulder period where some people had disc but a lot of people still had canty, there was this massive disparity in terms of riding style. And so holes would constantly open up. The guys on canties were sitting out wide, and I would just dive right underneath
sure,
them.
Sure.
And you'd pull these bullshit circus moves. And I did it, right? I would start apologizing for a move before I did it, right? Because I know it's going to happen.
Right, right.
And the thing is that it's not like, oh, these guys are going to learn. I can sit behind someone for an entire fucking season, and I know every corner they're going to set up wide, and I'm going to come right in underneath them. They will not learn.
Yeah.
Now that everybody's evolving into disc, what you're finding is that the riding style is changing because now everyone's fighting for the same hole. It almost has become like there's a crit feel to it.
Yeah.
Right? And everybody's hard charging and taking these kind of circus lines.
You're on very equal terms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so there's going to be this sussing out period of those people that now that everybody's on the same equipment, now it's who can ride that equipment better.
What do you think of 200 millimeter dish rims?
I don't. Don't get me started. Come on.
You should have seen what I saw this morning. It was crazy. I was like, that must have been a 125 millimeter dish. Like, what the fuck? On a road bike or something like that. Like not a time trial bike.
Yeah.
Not anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, what? Dude.
Oh, well,
on.
You know, it gets through the mud and sandies. No. Yeah. So.
Okay, man. You got anything that fits in with the PVD world that you'd want to say?
Other than the fact that I've always been a fan of you, Pete.
All right, cool. Thank you very much.